I'm going to begin my message today by telling you about two challenging situations from my past experience. I was reminded of these by the story of Jesus and what happened in there, especially just before he fed the 5,000. This, by the way, this story is told in some way in all four Gospels. It tells us how important it is. So how did this happen anyway? But first, a couple situations, challenging situations that I thought of. And being an old person, I can go back in life a ways and pull some of these out. I was 30 years old when Joe and I got married over four decades ago. Eric, the youngest of his three sons, had just turned 13 years old. And Joe was the custodial parent, and Eric would be living with us full-time in the small town of Keewatin. Heard of that? Blank looks throughout the room. Keewatin, near Hibbing, on the Iron Range of northern Minnesota. We had moved there from Washington, D.C., and yes, that was a culture change. We moved to serve as pastors in part of God's, that part of God's kingdom. Now, here I was, so many challenges ahead of me. How in the world would I meet them all? And how would I stepmother this eighth grade kid with a sprinkle of freckles? Eric did not believe in showers, washing dishes, saving money, or making beds, all of which were part of my Norwegian Lutheran heritage. How would I deal with his older brothers, ages 17 and 19, both taller than me, when they came to visit or live for a while with their huge appetites and dirty laundry? How could I help us become a family? At times it was overwhelming. My five loaves and two fish of wisdom, parenting skills, patience, and caring would not be enough. That's the first situation. How about the second one? This is not about me personally, but it's about a church in a neighboring town up north, as we called it, up north, Grand Rapids, Minnesota, not that far down the highway, bigger town, bigger city. Zion Lutheran is the name of that church, large, old, downtown congregation, or midtown, however you want to put it. It was landlocked where it was, no place to grow or go. It was a five-year-old boy playing with matches under the hanging choir robes that started the fire. Set the church building on fire that day. It was the early 1980s. It was a miracle that he was found quickly, scared and hiding in a bathroom in the burning building. He was whisked away to safety. But the large, beautiful building burned to the ground. I remember driving by there through that town a few days later, weeping as I stood in front of the charred remains of that church. Now, for years, everyone in that area, in the community and among Lutherans, had known that Zion could not afford a new building or a location that they really needed if they were going to grow, move on. And now, in order to continue even the mission they had and ministry, they had to do this. The members and the pastors were afraid and doubtful as they considered their meager, say it with me, five loaves and two fish. Certainly, they'd never be able to accomplish this huge task of relocating and rebuilding that lay ahead of them. Okay, back to the Bible. Jesus was worn out with grief and pain. We can only imagine his cousin, John the Baptist, his pastor, his teacher, his friend, his partner in faith, had been cruelly executed. I don't even like to say it. John was beheaded at a dinner party as a result of speaking God's truth about Herod and his so-called wife. Jesus tried to seclude himself, to pray, to weep, to do whatever he had to. He took a boat across the northern part of Sea of Galilee. It's a long, long lake, and so he could go across the end. A lot like Lake Vermilion up north. So he tried to get away, shall we say. And now instead of being met with solitude, Jesus was met by not hundreds, but thousands of people who had somehow figured out where he was going, and they came on land around the lake to find him. Sad and depleted as he was, God somehow gave Jesus the strength to have pity on the people, and he touched them, he healed them with compassion and power from beyond himself. That same compassion moved him to refuse his disciples' suggestion that night, evening. They said, send the crowds somewhere else. They can find supper. They can find food themselves. They're hungry, of course. Jesus says, they don't have to leave. You yourselves, you give them something to eat. All we have here is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And these weren't big breadico loaves. These were little pocket bread, pita, whatever you want to call them. Somebody's lunch. In another Gospel of John, it says they're a little boy's lunch and some smoked fish of some kind. That's all we have. The disciples were sure that what they had was not enough to meet the huge need facing them. They could never feed all of those people by themselves. And I suppose they were right. By themselves. With their own resources, the disciples could not have fed the 500 plus people. And neither could I, by myself, deal with my challenges as a young pastor and a young stepmother up in northern Minnesota. And neither could Zion Lutheran on their own find the incredible resources needed for a new church building location and mission. Well, think about it. We know something about this. By ourselves, with the resources the people of this congregation had, Spirit of Joy would not have been able to rise up out of a grassy field and a handful of people to be this large, amazing grace congregation that it's become in the last 2 decades. Not by ourselves. You and I personally will not be able to face the challenges and struggles, the griefs, the pains that are placed in our individual paths. Nor can we or anyone else rise to the work of compassion that God has given us to do by ourselves. Our 5 loaves and 2 fish will not be enough. We cannot do this alone. And so Jesus said, bring them here to me. Then he didn't suggest. He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over, broken pieces, 12 baskets full, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. That's how they counted then. Now, amazing as it seems, the pocket bread and smoked fish they had was enough, more than enough. And who knows, maybe the miracle was the people sharing. We don't need to know. They did what Jesus asked them to do, and when it was combined with the blessing of the Almighty God, it was enough. And once, or only, I should say, when they gave the lunch to Jesus and he gave it back to them, did it become sufficient for the needs at hand. And of course, that's what we've seen here in this congregation, both as we've built and expanded the building and as we've done the same with our ministry and mission in God's hands. What we've had and into the future is enough, more than enough. Our human gifts become sufficient when we give them to Jesus and he blesses them and gives them back to us. Today, Jesus hosts again what I like to call the miracle meal, Holy Communion. Jesus, Lord of all, offers us bread and wine, his own broken body and spilled blood. And there's enough forgiveness and hope and eternal life and strength and power in that for every challenge God has set before us or life deals us. I also found this out as I experienced becoming a step-parent to three teenage boys at age 30. Jesus broke my bit of bread and blessed and multiplied it. Through prayer and books and Joe and friends and workshops and much more, God gave me all I needed to stepmother that young teenager all the way through to graduation from McAllister College many years ago now. And that same young boy who couldn't remember to take out the trash is dispatching trains for commuting trains for SunRail down in Central Florida. They don't know about that trash thing. And he's enjoying his three young adult children, one of whom were excited she got engaged this week. With what I learned through the years, with the Spirit's help about being a step parent, I've been enabled to help many, many other step families as a pastor and a Lutheran social service counselor. What happened at Zion Lutheran Church with their burned down building, burned out hopes? More than enough was given by God there too. Their meager loaves and fish were multiplied and their beautiful new building was built in another air place. Somebody, I think they gave the land. That's how it goes, isn't it? It was built, used for ministry and worship. A few years after, they built an addition. And then, lo and behold, when they got upset that the Lutheran Church was bringing in a mission developer, imagine that, start another Lutheran church in that community. And sure enough, that went just fine. They ended up helping, and now there are two wonderful ELCA churches in Grand Rapids, still growing and serving. Amazing, amazing grace. In the hands of Jesus, with God's blessing, little becomes much. I think we said last week, all things work together for good when God gets involved. Our small gifts grow to overflowing when surrendered to God's power. Today we may look at our meager gifts and the monumental tasks that are set before us in our lives, or maybe together, individuals, families, Our loaves and fish are not enough, we say, with a heavy sigh. And Jesus says, that's not so. Bring them here to me. Amen.